Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll. In this episode, you'll hear part two of my conversation with Tina Abate, Clinical Assistant Professor and Coordinator of the Nursing Student Internship Program in Stony Brook University's School of Nursing. More links and information about today's conversation can be found on Digication's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Full episodes of Digication Scholars Conversation can be found on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. So I was curious, when they start creating their e-portfolios, are there specific templates or prompts that they use? You mentioned that they're given some requirements on, you know, certain kinds of content that they should include. But are you utilizing any kinds of templates or prompts as part of that process?
Yes, I think that type of guidance is very important. Apart from the rubric, which we pulled from the literature to decide like what we wanted them to include in their e-portfolio. So apart from the rubric, which like I mentioned is very prescriptive, it's leaves very little to subjectivity. And then again, we add that, you know, the top tier points for visual appeal. I also developed a template of my own so that they can have something to peruse as they develop. I think that that's very helpful to them so that they know that they know exactly what to expect in this e-portfolio assignment.
Yeah. Okay. And so with the template that you created, does that have, was that kind of personalized for you or is it kind of a sample student? I've seen different approaches.
Yeah. At this point, I made it very generalized to the student. The nice thing about the template is that you can include notes in there, like a pro tip, you know, stuff like that. So I made it very generic and, you know, with some hints and, you know, pro tips in there and suggestions about how to make a particular tab enhanced.
And is that where you're maybe giving them ideas about, so you mentioned in the kind of welcome page or area where they might be sharing some of their background and why they're studying what they're studying, that they're not just using writing to communicate that, that they're sometimes incorporating audio. I don't know if they've done any kind of video there. Is that where you're giving them some of those pro tips, or have they started to kind of see other examples that are out there?
I do encourage them to look at Digication's repertoire of templates so that they can see. I'd love to see a bit more video and audio. So I was thinking about adjusting the rubric and just making one part of it, you know, have their welcome page be a video or audio recording. So with the post-licensure students, I haven't seen that much, but I feel like in the pre-licensure, I might see that much more. So I just kind of little thoughts about how to make it a bit more, bring it more to life, you know, instead of 2D, you know?
Yeah, it is really interesting what one can kind of learn about an individual and what they, you know, the way that they kind of communicate who they are and what they know when they're speaking, whether they're, you know, just speaking into a mic or on camera, that's very different than I think the kind of mode that folks might get in when they sit down to write something. And we've often found that for, you know, your students may be a little more experienced in the process of writing about themselves, but in a lot of programs that we work with, for some students, it's very hard to just kind of sit down and, you know, fill in any kind of welcome or about me, you know, what do I have to contribute? What values and skills do I have, especially in that kind of undergraduate setting?
And sometimes doing a video or audio recording can kind of open up doors for them that might not have happened, you know, as quickly as if they just had to sit down and write about it. So it can be a great way to get people, you know, literally talking.
I think that would be seamless with my pre-licensure students because I have them already do an elevator pitch assignment. So it is literally 30 to 45 seconds, like it's very short, quick pitch about themselves that I think would work well, that they could just take that and just put it into their e-portfolio. And I do hear anecdotally how hard it is and how they re-record it several times. I have them do a peer-to-peer assessment on that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That they, you know, have that type of feedback. But it's hard to talk about yourself like that, you know, in a short period of time. So I give them all the tools and resources to make a very, you know, succinct statement about themselves, but that would really fit really well into their e-portfolios.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny, as you were talking, I recently had a conversation with a student that did get their dream job, and it involved, he spoke about it, like he had to chase down someone at an event. You know, he had the opportunity to get in front of them and you know, try to hook them, and he was scared to do it in the moment, but he was kind of speaking about how, you know, if he hadn't been prepared to kind of have that pitch ready, that he might not have made such an incredible impact on that person that led to him getting the current position. So even though he was so nervous about it, he was actually quite well prepared, and set him on his way. So yeah, it is interesting, you know, how preparing things in, you know, different modes and methods, you know, can help you in different kinds of experiences where you may have that opportunity to make a connection with someone. And I know earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that you are using this rubric that outlines, you know, all of the kind of requirements and specifications for what you're looking for in the portfolio. And some of that is related to the visual elements. But what are some of the other kinds of criteria that you have in that rubric? Very often in working with different schools and programs, they're very interested in this kind of portfolio pedagogy and reflective learning and career-oriented portfolios. But when they kind of sit down to think about, you know, how they're going to assess them, may not already have tools in place. And it sounds like you've spent some time creating that rubric as a way to make that process, you know, straightforward for the students and how they're going to be assessed, and also straightforward for those that might be reviewing them. So what are some of the other criteria that you have in that rubric? No, I'm putting you on the spot. You don't have to do an interview.
No, I'm thinking back to the rubric. I mean, we have the welcome page, the nursing philosophy, the goals, their resume, their poster project. Another section would be any awards or honors that they have received. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great opportunity. You know, sometimes it's hard to toot your own horn, but it's a great way to professionally present some of the things that you've achieved. So that would be a section. Their contact information. And that's pretty much it. We don't have a ton of tools because we want whoever to read it to be able to do so in a short period of time. So we just keep it as concise as possible.
Right. That makes sense. And then are there, is it kind of a, you know, yes, they did it, no, they didn't, or are there different kinds of levels that they have for the criteria that are listed there?
There's definitely different levels. If they want the top tier max points for each criteria, there needs to be some visual appeal to it. It needs to look good. And the information contained in that category needs to be clear, you know, succinct, if it's a narrative. and just present it well and appropriately.
Great. And then as you're reviewing their e-portfolios, is that something that happens, you know, when maybe there's certain kinds of milestones that are set up? I know in some courses, they may look at them at the middle of the semester and the end of the semester. There's other faculty members that have kind of weekly submissions that are going on. What's the kind of timeline for when the students may begin their e-portfolio and when it's kind of considered completed, at least in the context of your course or maybe their program? And how often is it being assessed, and what's that process like?
We do one assessment at the end of the semester. It's kind of like the cumulative sort of career development, because they've gone through the simulation for interviewing. They've had their resume reviewed. They do peer-to-peer resume review as well. So we're slowly building up towards this final product that's assessed one time at the end of the semester.
Okay. And the, you know, from your perspective with that assessment process, is that, I'm sure it takes some time, but is that an enjoyable kind of process for you? And how might that process differ from maybe, you know, reviewing a kind of standard paper, or you mentioned the poster presentations that the students do?
It's definitely a fun assignment to grade, because again, they just put together this beautiful e-portfolio art, as I mentioned earlier. And it's enjoyable for me to take that journey through each e-portfolio, because, you know, every student has a different story. And if they're willing to share it, you can really pick up on that in their e-portfolio. And you get to know, like, some of these students have a very colorful, in-depth work histories, that this might be a second career for them.
Right, yeah.
So it's so interesting to see where all these individuals have come from and have landed into the nursing profession. So I have to tell you, unless my course has a writing requirement, I don't have papers. Absolutely not. I have completely eliminated them. There's just different ways now with active learning and innovative teaching practices now that, you know, unless you have a writing requirement, I can understand, but there's different ways to present an assignment that's not, you know, 15 pages of narrative to read.
Right. Yeah. 15 pages from a Word document or a Google Doc or.
Sure.
Like yeah.
And with AI too.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes. Well, and we really encourage folks to think about, you know, as you're, you know, it's a space where you can actually do the creation of the work as well. You know, it doesn't have to be something where you're creating and always posting it after the fact, that it, you know, because of its flexibility and design options and, you know, ability to, you know, get feedback and have it reviewed, you know, it can be that space for creation, not just, you know, sharing individual documents. So it's wonderful to hear that you have that approach with your students and are open-minded about, you know, even if they are doing writing about themselves or their history and experiences, that they can do that really within the pages of the portfolio and incorporating kinds of media as well.
Yeah.
So I was curious, as part of the assessment process, I know with nursing, there's a lot of professional practice standards that they're working towards. And are those mentioned at any point in some of the materials that they're presenting within the portfolio? You mentioned that there's specific course learning objectives that they're working towards as well. So are those being kind of included as part of that process? I've seen that in some other nursing program oriented portfolio work.
Yeah, actually, we are working towards a competency-based curriculum now. So our accrediting body has switched from, you know, most of us have a content-based curriculum. Now our accrediting body has set up all of these different competencies, and we're in the process, we're supposed to adopt this next year. And what we've done is we're mapping out all of our competencies. The competencies type, you know, relate to the student learning outcomes, the program outcomes. Everything is all like a giant matrix.
Yeah.
Well, so right now we're in the process of, you know, taking our assignments, matching them up with the proper competencies. And I think that's a good direction for us to go, because we really want to be able for students to demonstrate core competencies that are important, you know, so that we can graduate nurses at different levels with different abilities and maybe a more sound critical thinking ability. So right now we're in the process of doing all of that work.
Well, it aligns really nicely with a whole rollout of tools within Digication for being able to essentially kind of tag e-portfolio submissions to specific learning outcomes, whether they're some of these professional practice standards or learning outcomes for various courses that they have. So if you would like to, you know, start to make use of some of those tools, we can turn that on for you whenever you're ready. And it can be a really valuable way to continue to offer the kind of flexibility for students to tell their stories and share what they've done and have this other kind of layer for your for the School of Nursing to be able to see how the students are really meeting those benchmarks and to share that with accrediting teams as well.
That's what I was just going to say. It'd be, we have exemplars when they come and do our visits. And that would be a great opportunity to show them this is how, you know, this assignment is linked to this competency, this student learning objective. And it's an innovative way, I think.
Yeah. So how are you able, with the exemplars that you have now, you know, when you have accrediting team visits? I know that that can be kind of a stressful time, but it's also somewhat celebratory. Maybe the deep breath when it's finished.
Yeah, for sure.
I know a lot of time and effort, you know, goes into the preparation. And then, you know, when you do have that time to celebrate what your students have done with external audiences, you know, maybe it'd be nice to have a little less scrutiny, but it's there for a reason. But so I was curious, how are those exemplars shared with the accrediting teams that are visiting now?
So we choose, you know, we pick and choose what we'd like to share. And we actually have an area designated within the School of Nursing where those individuals can view those exemplars. We do have some that are on paper as well. But we have a repository, if you will, of exemplars that the accreditors can easily access and visualize and assess.
Yeah, nice. And do you know if the e-portfolios have been, I know they're kind of including work that they may be doing in other courses. Do you know if other nursing faculty have created other templates that they might be using, or if they ever see the kind of final results that the students have created?
I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I would like to know if the graduate faculty use it in any place in any of the programs, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Well, and we hear about that often, especially in these kinds of fields where the portfolios are often naturally private and not shared within the school's
e-portfolio directory. There's a lot of other disciplines like the writing program at Stony Brook that are often shared in more of a public manner because the students are interested in having their writing viewed for their roles. But yeah, often in healthcare, they're more private. So often they're not seen by other faculty members.
Yeah. That's definitely a direction to go, though, to kind of showcase their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as they're getting to, you know, prepare them for sharing as part of the internship process and potential, showing them to potential employers, having that option to make them more visible is very helpful. And they always have that option for password protection too, if they'd like.
Yes, which is great.
Yeah. So when the students are kind of getting near the completion of the portfolio for your course, do you ever get feedback from them about if there's certain areas of the portfolio that they may be most proud of? I don't know if it's sometimes the poster that they did, or maybe it is that welcome page. Have you gotten feedback from them about that?
The feedback that I've received is more general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they, when they evaluate the course,
mm-hmm.
It's more of just a general, you know, comment that they enjoyed putting the e-portfolio together, or, gee, there was a little bit of a learning curve there, but once I got it, I got it.
Yeah.
But nothing specific to particular aspects.
Okay.
Because we don't ask those like pointed type of questions. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a general feedback.
As part of their course evaluation. Yeah. That makes sense. So when you mentioned that the students right now aren't giving any kind of peer feedback on the portfolios themselves, but that they do have opportunities as part of the kind of interview, mock interviews that they do. What is that peer feedback process like?
We use a learning management system called Brightspace. Mm-hmm. So there's the ability for students to give feedback into something that's been submitted by a student. So it's something that's built into our LMS system.
Mm-hmm.
That they're assigned a resume to give feedback on based on certain criteria, which is, you know, like a rubric. Mm-hmm. And the student can use that to improve their resume, for example. And then when they have the simulation, the Career Center will give them kind of the final feedback on their resume. So it's, you know, ready and to go off the runway.
That's awesome. Well, Tina, thank you so much for your time today. It was wonderful to hear about your experience and what brought you to Stony Brook and the wonderful impact that your work has had on the students there. It was wonderful to spend some time chatting with you today.
Same. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this.
Absolutely. Take good care.
You too.
Bye.
Coming up next, we'll be chatting with JT Torres, Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Kennepack University. Here's a quick preview.
I want everything to be just in time, not just in case, right? I want people to be so immersed in a moment that when they run up against a challenge and they don't know how to respond to that challenge, the faculty member swoops in with, here's what you need to know right now. And then I can incorporate that, here's what I need to know to overcome this challenge. That develops into schema. Right? That develops into long-term memory. That's what we call active learning, and that's also what we call agency.